Whitney and I have Julie Lehrman, a famous girl that has written a book about entity framework, the only book I think that exists.
Oh, there are.
Are there a few? I don't know any more than yours. It's the only one I have in my bookshelf. Couldn't you present yourself before we talk about the entity framework stuff, Julie?
Absolutely. Yeah? My name's Julie Lehrman. I live in Vermont in the U.S. I've been programming for quite a long time, and my big focus for the last few years has been the entity framework.
And yes, I wrote a book
called Programming Entity Framework. And I've never written a book before that. And as I was finishing up, I said,
Never again.
So now I'm currently working on the next version of
when
the book.
When will it be available, the next version?
Hopefully, it's supposed to be out in April of 2010. But if you make me worry about that too much, I'm just going to run home right now and keep working on it.
I really look forward to it.
Yeah.
It was a very good book.
There's a lot of changes.
Yeah.
I'm excited about it.
Start from the beginning? What is entity framework exactly?
Entity framework, the simple view of entity framework is it's Microsoft's object relational mapping tool. That's a very, very high level view, but that's one that makes sense to a lot of people who are used to ORMs. On a bigger scale or a lower level, entity framework is Microsoft's implementation, a .NET implementation of a very important piece of Microsoft's data programmability future, which is all around the entity data model. So the entity data model is about using a conceptual model in your applications, and the entity framework is a set of APIs that lets us do that with .NET.
So I heard that this is the Microsoft way forward. Why? Why not another link to SQL or something else?
Link to SQL and entity framework have a lot in common in a small way. And entity framework is a much bigger thing than Link to SQL. Link to SQL is a nice, neat little package. And I actually tell people, you know, people ask me all the time, well, I'm starting a new project, should I use Link to SQL or entity framework? Is Link to SQL dead? Link to SQL is not dead and it's still supported. Link to SQL is not going to have a lot of investment going forward in the future. They're making the, since they had a lot of similarities in terms of being an ORM, Link to SQL will still be there, but they're putting the big investment in Entity Framework.
Entity Framework has been out for a year in version 1, but not so many people know about it. And now we have version 2 or version 4.0, if you don't prefer.
Version 4.
Okay. If you prefer the marketing guys. Why was it not so popular in version 1, and what's the big difference between version 1 and version 2?
Version 1 was Microsoft's first step in a longer process of putting the entity framework out. And so there was a lot that people were looking for that wasn't in there yet. The stuff that was in entity framework, the features of entity framework, really, there was a ton of features in version 1. The problem for a lot of people was that you had a lot of work to get at those features. They weren't surfaced in an easy way to access in the APIs. So to take advantage of the entity framework in a really deep way for big enterprise applications, there was a lot of work people had to do, and some people were willing to make the investment, and other people said, I'd really rather wait until it's just more amenable to, you know, sitting down and really working. So that was part of that picture. And also, the first version really targets certain type of developer. Developers who have legacy databases, developers who are used to working with data sets and data readers, as opposed to a whole new set of other levels of doing application development, domain-driven development, agile development, test-driven development, etc. So it didn't really support those types of models.
And what's the new differences, then?
There's actually a lot of difference, a lot of new things in Entity Framework, but the big thing, the Entity Framework 4, is its POCO support and a couple of levels of POCO support.
Could you first explain
to be able to
explain the POCO?
to be able to use your own simple objects, to be able to use testable objects, and to be able to design very applications where you've got your logic separated in a...
Okay, what's the big difference then between the old version and the new one?
I think there's a lot of changes, but the biggest change really is around the support for using simpler classes, not having to use classes that are tightly bound to the Entity Framework APIs, being able to use POCO, pure, you know, plain old CLR objects. Some people think that means plain old C# objects. That's just not the truth. So all of that support, and once they introduced that support, they were able to actually start doing some much more interesting things. There's two types of, like, for using POCO objects, you can use POCO objects, really simple objects, and just ask the context, which is managing change tracking, to say, oh, go look and see what's going on there. So that's the simplest way to implement it. You can also set up the classes to use proxies, and actually without having to inherit from the Entity Framework classes or even inject them, you can still get the benefits of them by using the proxies. So that's one level of support that this separation allows us to do.
And you talk in your talk about the agile, that Entity Framework now is possible to be agile with.
Right.
What do you mean by that?
Well, by being able to have this separation, first of all, it allows people to really architect their applications in a much more fine-grained way and have the separation of concerns that a lot of people want to have in their applications, and to make smaller pieces that are loosely coupled instead of tightly bound into the APIs. It's also now you can write testable code, and that was what I was showing in my demo. I had classes and repositories, and I had, you know, a path where you could go through the mocks and use tests, or you could start with your UI and work back and
forth
with the
database. Could you retell the story about the repository that you had last night?
Well, it wasn't quite last night, but it's been over the last few months.
Yeah.
Because I am not by. Agile development is new to me, and because I was so focused on Entity Framework for the last couple of years, I kind of had to hold off on moving towards Agile development. So, of course, with the new version, this was the thing I was most excited about, learning, finally really jumping in and learning and seeing how it works, seeing how Entity Framework works with it. But at the same time, I was having a big learning curve about using repositories, using mocks, what testable objects are, what you want to test, what makes sense to test, what doesn't make sense to test. And so I went through all of that with a lot of help from people. I asked different people who are very experienced in these things to make sure I was going in the right directions. And in the end, I had done all the tests and everything was working, and I said, well, now it's time to write a UI, right? Instead of writing that first, I wrote it at the end. And it was such a revelation, because in my UI, I didn't need to tell the UI about the Entity Framework. I didn't need to have all those bindings in there, and it was this sense of freedom, and I saw that and just went, oh, now I get it.
Yeah, and the repository pattern is the guy in the middle that do
that
this thing.
Enables me to do it. Well, the fact that I'm able to use a repository pattern. And it's not all about the repository pattern. You know, for some people, that's not the goal. The goal is not, I need to use a repository pattern. The goal, the various goals are, I need testable code, and I really want to have an agile architecture. And so the repository pattern is the way to that. Now, the funny thing was, I was talking to Oren Einy last night about this, and I said, so what? I've written my first repository. He says, we don't do those anymore. I'm like, I missed the bus again.
No, you're on the bus.
But when I told him what it led me to and my revelations and what I've learned from it, he said, that's what it's there for. That's great.
In the ending here, I want to ask you about two features that I want to have more explained. The code only and the self-tracking state features. Could you tell me about that?
Yeah, code-only and self-tracking entities are actually part of the, what's called the Entity Framework Feature CTP. And what it is the team's way of getting some really important features in that they're not going to be able to get into the box. So when Visual Studio releases and you install that, they won't be there, but you can just go download them and install them, and they'll just be part of the package. And fully supported by Microsoft, by the Entity Framework team. As a matter of fact, last night they just released the version that works with Beta 2 of Visual Studio 2010. So code only is this next step with POCO. What POCO enabled them to go to this next step. And it's something that domain-driven developers are really excited about, which is the ability to leverage the Entity Framework without having to use a model. So rather than creating a model and being bound by that model, with code only, you build your classes, and then Entity Framework still is very reliant on the metadata from the model. So when it does interaction with the database and it builds commands and does queries and things like that, it's constantly reading that XML. So what code only does is at runtime, it generates the XML on the fly and just has it in memory. But the beauty of it is that rather than, well, it works as convention over configuration. So by convention, it reads the classes and it creates the model based on the classes. Additionally, if there's no database, you can actually, part of the code only, there's commands in there to say, if there's no database, go create the database for me. It does that. And then you can hand the database to your DBA and let them make it better and you know, do all that. But in the process, so by default, it will just read the classes and create all that. But you can then alter that by configuring it further. So you can, in code, say, okay, now, as you're about to create these entities from the classes, can you, you know, change this, and in this entity, I want that to be the ID, and oh, there's some inheritance here, and I know by default you are going to use table per hierarchy, I think that's the default one, but I want you to use table per type, so you can do, you can have a lot of control over it.
And
that's an exciting thing. I think code only is a really, really big deal. Self-tracking entities helps solve a really big problem with Entity Framework, which is the way the framework works is there's a context that manages the state of all the entities it's aware of. But unfortunately, if you have to move those entities across a process, such as if you're using WCF services, if you're moving the entities across the process, the entities don't own that information. And so all of that chain tracking information is gone when you get to the other side. And it's been a really difficult thing to work with. And a lot of us have spent a lot of time just trying to figure out how to write useful code to get around this so that we can pass them around and, you know, get our updating. We want updates. We want the change tracking. So self-tracking entities, again, in the feature CTP, leverages POCO. The POCO support, and also takes advantage of the ability to generate your own classes using T4. And it generates classes that have the ability to keep their state right inside the classes. They're not big, fat entity objects. They're still POCO, and they're not as big and fat as data tables, which we're used to doing that for us. But it has a way of keeping track of the important information the Entity Framework needs in order to do efficient updates.
Oh, exciting.
Yeah, it's
the last
big
thing.
Problem solver.
Is it something in Entity Framework, the last version, new version, that you still think is missing? That are important?
I'm a sadly not very skeptical person. I'm looking at all the stuff that's coming in, and I'm just excited to see it. I think it's going to be me digging down more deeply where things that may be obvious to other people who are very experienced with using ORMs might say, well, it should still do this, it should still do that. There's been huge improvements with the designer, but I think one of the things that will make a huge impact and that we still have to wait for, a big thing, these little things like Enum support would be great to have. Guys, Enum support next time. But for the designer to have the ability to support large models, because that's a very, very difficult problem, and the designer really doesn't do much more for us in the new version than it did in the first version. So if you have a lot of entities, it's really hard to maintain in the designer. So I think that's probably the one big thing that's on my mind.
Thank you very much,
Oh,
Julia.
Thank you so much.
And
this
have
was
a nice
fun.
Day here in Sweden.
Yeah, I love Sweden. This is my third time here in the last 2 years. Thanks.